You know what? Jake did a great job with this.
Mm-hmm. I was just about to say, this coffee table really brings out your lips.
After Glenn officially dumps Bob, Johnny, Roland, and Ronnie try to help him get back into the dating game. Alexis and Moira have gone viral thanks to their movie premiere publicity stunt, while Patrick and David have an unexpected run-in with everyone's ex, Jake, leading them to attend what they think may be a swingers party. Don your date night leather, pour yourself a whiskey or whatever, and join us as we unpack Season 5, Episode 6, The Wingman.
Hello and welcome to this very spooky, very special Halloween edition.
Katie,
this is unusual day for us guys due to the fact that I was recovering from vacation and all kinds of
stuff. We've been gone for a minute, yeah, and we've got lots to catch up on. But before we get any further, in the spirit of this very spooky Halloween episode, Katie and I have yet to show each other our costumes. We're on our Zoom call, which we do every week, but we haven't turned our cameras on yet
because
we want to save our reactions for the podcast. So Katie, should we do a countdown?
I was just telling Steph I had a suspicion we might be the same because we've not divulged any information. We're about to find out. But yeah.
There's probably some suspicion, like Katie's voice is a little muffled. Hear some rustling on my end. So we have no idea what the other did. Although I think we agreed non-character costumes. So we'll see.
We're gonna hit start video and you're gonna count us down, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, start video in 3, 2, 1.
Not even close. Whoa, Stephanie.
You guys, I am talking to a living, breathing crow.
I am looking.
Podcast headphones. Oh my God. Let me get a screenshot of this. Hold on.
I can't even decide if like I should have the headphones on.
It's so much better.
This is very clever on your part, Stephanie. The Moira's Roses Garden in the flesh.
Giving Midsommar vibes.
This is amazing.
Roses Garden 4856.
It's not at all.
I will never forget the number from here to eternity.
If that's the final Jeopardy question when you're on Jeopardy one day, you're winning.
I will win. Sorry,
wow.
Ken Jennings.
The sunglasses bring the whole diva-ness of all of it.
Thank you. I actually have to take these off.
It is very midsummer, I will say.
It is. We'll obviously post pictures so that people know what the hell we're talking about. But I've got rustling foliage and leaves here, which I'm probably going to have to take off a little bit. Katie, this crow mask, tell me about it.
The idea just came to me as soon as we hung up the last time, and I was literally laughing to myself out loud as I was hitting the buy button on Amazon.
It's not a mask, like a masquerade mask. Her head is submerged.
That's why.
Full 360.
Stephanie's like, should we do this in costume for a while? And I was like, no, I'm not going to be able to leave mine on.
Understandable now. Oh my gosh. Well, that is amazing. Well done.
I feel
like we're kind of connected in a way. Like we're both doing Moira tributes in a way. Are you like full on Dr. Clara Mandrake after she's gone through the full
transition? After her transition. This could be, and I still have human hands, but I have the whole crow body.
That's very jarring to see. Oh my gosh. This is awesome.
Happy Halloween to all of you. I'm going to take this mask off and we will resume our regularly scheduled programming.
I'm going to get rid of some of these leaves and then we'll pick up in just a second. Oh my gosh.
Ooh, it's hot in there.
Oh, your voice sounds so much better.
Woo! It's just sweaty in that rubber mask.
I bet. Hold on. I'm just going to prune some of these leaves off.
I was also wearing the black fur vest that I wore for my Moira costume. I was like, this could pass for bird feathers.
Totally.
Steph, yours is clever as always. You're always so clever with your ideas.
I raided the fall florals at our Joann Fabrics.
Yeah.
Made a rock out of cardboard, which I feel like I'm going to display somewhere just on its own.
Yes. That's amazing.
And then just added this lovely headpiece. I did put a couple roses in, even though I know the actual roses.
I can hear the headpiece.
Yeah, we've got quite a bit of rustling going on here. So
is any of that ivy material reusable for possible wedding crafts?
Oh, possibly. Definitely.
That's cute. And the blonde wig.
I know. I had to use the blonde wig just one more time. Mm-hmm. I'm getting so entangled. Please hold.
Please hold. Okay. Got your earbuds back?
Yeah, all I could find were these little airport freebie Delta headphones that had the the right adapter, the right plug.
I just got rid of a couple sets of those. Joe loves to like hoard them.
Too. And he doesn't even use them on the plane, but he'll still take a pair. And I'm like,
we have nothing in the house that requires that other than this microphone that I own.
Right. Mm-hmm. I've got some cider in a copper mug with a copper straw, just so I don't mess up my Moira lipstick.
Drinking a cherry wheat tonight. We had a Halloween party last night, and I had a little to drink last night. That was the first time since our vacation. As I mentioned, I've been sick. Right. So, yeah, that's why we're a little bit late, guys. I was recovering.
Understandable.
I was really bad like Wednesday and Thursday when we originally record on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I just, you know how it is. I didn't want to do anything at all. First
and you
of
said
all.
You weren't like your voice wasn't good. So
my voice was really bad.
I'm glad we waited. And this way we can have like, because this is our final Halloween spectacular.
It is. So I think we really did well with the costumes.
I think we did too. I'm like really proud of us.
After we hung up last week, well, it was weeks ago for you guys, but like the last episode, I had this epiphany as to I wanted to be a crow. And I was like, Amazon has to have a mask for this, right? And I wanted it to be the most ridiculous looking thing that I could find. And sure as shit, there it was as soon as I searched crow mask. And I didn't even care. I don't know how much it cost. I didn't care.
Not an issue.
I was laughing out loud to myself as I bought, and I was giggling about it later, just thinking
about
turning the
camera. Well, I remember you even like telling me, like, I've got something and it's really good. So
Stephanie.
And then I felt like, okay, pressure is on. Cut to last weekend. Like I said, raiding the clearance florals, the fall florals at Joann Fabrics and digging through my cardboard.
Oops. I dropped my camera a little.
My scrap cardboard trying to make a rock, but now I've got great. This great maybe That's this could great. Be like a wedding centerpiece somewhere.
Yes we got Thank to her.
But yeah, we've been out for a while, so hello. It was October 8th was our last episode, so we've been gone for a minute. It's now the end of October, moving
so
into November.
What has happened in life? We did no poll. We did no podcast or anything.
We might
related.
Have, but honestly, it's been so long. It was your favorite episode. Oh, we asked
it
about
was
like
my simply the best. Yes.
I think we asked about like red carpets. We had a couple of people say they've like attended movie premieres, and someone said they walk a red carpet every day.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
like red carpeting at their school or office or something.
Remember the one girl wrote in, and she has brought this up before, how she lives near Toronto and does a lot of
like TIFF stuff.
Yeah. So that was cool to hear about. Mm-hmm. And then I did have to laugh at somebody wrote in that they were surprised at my simply the best choice. I thought people would be. And this particular listener said he will not be surprised because he is sure of what your simply the best is going to be. So
but I think this semester we're surprising folks. So
only time will tell.
Time will tell.
Wedding update, Steph. Give us the 411.
Yeah. We've been
you were at a wedding expo today.
Oh my gosh. I went to a wedding expo today. If you want to just like amp up your anxiety, go to a wedding expo. It was not fun. I did not enjoy it. Granted, I knew what I was getting into when we went there, and we were only looking for like a couple, maybe.
You got a lot of big
three
things
vendors.
Set, right?
We've got a lot of big things set. So things we were looking out for were like cake and bakery connections. Okay. We were open to maybe doing some like media, like maybe we don't know that we want a photo booth, but like we checked out a couple and took some cards. We still haven't gotten my wedding band. So we got a little takeaway there. And the reason we went is because we know a lot of times they'll give you like a little promo if you like,
yeah,
take our voucher,
deal, like, and then sign if you up book today and you get a deal.
Or it, most of it wasn't even today. It was like in the next, you know, couple of weeks, if you come in, bring this and you'll get a discount.
Or mention that you were here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it was so crowded and it was so just like the floor plan and the flow was horrible. Mm-hmm. And just like people were, it was like Black Friday shopping in 2005 when online shopping didn't exist. And it was just so overwhelming and jam packed. And like, I think we were in and out in 45 minutes. I was just like, let's get in.
We're done here.
Let's find what we need. And Sushi, I was like, oh, what about this? I'm like, no.
Steph's got her to-do list and we're on it.
We are out of here. So we did that today. But in terms of other wedding things, we booked our photographer, which is really exciting. And she actually took our engagement photos too, which I've only gotten a couple of little teaser episodes, images.
The ones you sent me were stunning.
We did some like fall foliage photos at this really beautiful park that we love. And our photographer is great. And she made us super comfortable. And we're doing very well at planning. I think I've told you, like, we're trying to plan the gayest wedding that two straights can manage.
Yes.
And we've done a pretty good job of reaching out to vendors in that queer community.
She is the premier LGBTQ photographer in your area. She is,
and we got her.
Yeah, she is like 90% of her content that I saw was like LGBTQ couples.
And so she's done a lot of Indian weddings. And so she is great. We also went to, I don't think I told you this, Katie, but we went and saw Vitamin String Quartet perform. It's this orchestra, four-piece quartet orchestra. And they do like orchestral covers of like pop songs, like Billie Eilish and Ariana Grande. And I've listened to them for years and a lot of people use them for weddings, but they recently, when Bridgerton blew up, they were doing a lot of the scoring and like remixes for Bridgerton.
Those are all pop hits, like,
right. Really. Like Taylor Swift. And, and so that's how they've become really popular, but they've put out like, they've done like 300 covers over the last like 15 years. And so it was really cool to go up to, it was just like an hour north of here and watch them perform. It was the beginning of their tour. And I'm trying to convince Sushant that we should have like live orchestra music at our wedding. So
them
this was like
specifically, or are they too popular?
No, we could never afford them. But like maybe some college students at the university in the music program who are like looking to pick up a couple $100.
Crystal and Dan had a string quartet, and they did really ceremony music, and then they did cocktail hour. So it was like a nice couple hours. It's such a pretty addition.
It was so nice. And I love the concert and the last song they did, Bohemian Rhapsody, and like Sushant was even singing, which is a really big deal.
That's his favorite song, apparently. I learned. Yes.
It will definitely be played at our wedding at least once. So those are kind of our big wedding updates. The photos. Good. Locking in a photographer.
Big stuff. Yeah.
Wedding expo from hell, but we got through it. What has been going on in the world, Katie? Any Schitt's Creek world updates?
I have not seen a lot of Schitt's Creek related updates, but on a very sad note.
Oh, yes.
Today, Sunday, we're on the 29th. Just yesterday, Matthew Perry from Friends passed away.
So
what a shocker.
Shocking.
Oh my God.
Did you read his book that he released just a couple years
ago? It's been on my wish list for a really long time. And literally last night when I read the news, I went to the library app that I use and I said, I better put this on my wait list because now it's probably going to spike in popularity and I'll be waiting. So
I use Audible and I'm like, I kind of want to listen, but am I just going to be so terribly sad because now
it's awful, right?
But he, from the little bit that I recall of his like experience, like working through addiction and substance abuse when they were filming Friends specifically, like you could tell on screen his weight fluctuated.
Oh yeah,
drastically 100%. Across the seasons where he was struggling and then he was recovering, and it was definitely, you could see the toll it was taking on him.
He talks a lot about that in the book, I guess. We happened to be at a friend's house last night and they had both, the husband and wife had both read the book, and they said, according to his book, he literally should have died about 14 times with all of his struggles and crazy things. And And like, obviously the news just came out and there's still some speculation as to like what maybe the 100% cause. It's apparently, from what I read, was drowning, but you know, people can say what they will. They said there were no drugs found at the scene, but who knows, you know?
But it's either way, it's just like so sad. And he was 54.
54. I said to Joe, it's like, that's 4 years older than you, technically. Yeah, like, that's so young. It was definitely a shocking one from the celebrity world and a sad one. You know, I grew up with Friends and you did too, right?
Absolutely.
Like, it's on reruns at our house all the time. It's not going to be the same. So
no, not at all.
Sad news.
Yeah.
But that's like really the only, what else has been happening in the world?
I mean, SAG besides, is still in negotiations on strike or not negotiate. I think they've come to the table a few times.
Yeah. But, the actors,
actors are still on strike. So I know some fall shows, because there's like different actors guilds too. Mm-hmm. So I know like some shows, because writers are back, have been able to like start with production. But
yeah, I was wondering about Saturday Night Live, actually. It was on last night. And apparently they did a quick tribute to Matthew Perry, even though the news had come out just hours before. They I didn't see it. But then I was wondering, they must not be in the same union or part of the SAG union or something. I'm not sure how that all works.
Yeah, because they are like all technically like they're performers, but they're writers. So they might be in different unions. And I know like commercial actors have still been able to work through this. So there's definitely different, like,
who knows when we'll see the end of all that, man.
I know.
Been nuts.
Also, in just world news, like, it's been super shitty, and
yeah, it really,
we're not knowledgeable enough to talk about it. So, but just
Middle East crisis,
there's just like a lot of like a lot of shit going on right now.
Oh, yeah, yep. So,
but anyways,
but we're here for good news.
We are.
What else? Oh, I have life news.
Oh my God, you do. You guys, this is probably better than all my wedding updates so far.
We're getting a baby.
Katie's pregnant with a cat.
I'm having a kitten.
When are you due?
We're due in a few weeks.
Oh my gosh.
I have been telling Joe for about a year and a half, I want a third cat. And he's been saying, no. Like, my reasoning, I think I've said this before, is that, you know, my cats are getting older, and when something inevitably happens, like, I never want somebody to be alone in the house. I want them to always have a friend. So my goal is to just rotate in a third cat every 5 years after this or so, whatever happens, whenever things happen. And so finally this year, I told Joe earlier this year, I'm not taking no for an answer anymore. When we are done traveling this year, I'm going to be getting a kitten. So mentally prepare yourself. And he's really not that against it. He just doesn't want to upset the status quo with our cats.
I've seen a preview of your soon to be. Is it a daughter?
It's a daughter. Yes.
And Joe looked very smitten with that kitten.
He really is, and will be too. So we went. I had done all the pre-work before we left for our vacation. I filled out the application with the rescue. It's the same rescue we got our existing girls from. And I had been eyeballing a couple of kittens on their Facebook page, and I knew their age and that they would be ready soonish after we got back. And so I had done all the pre-work. And then when we got back, she called me and said, "Do you want to come for a meet and greet?" And I said, "Hell yeah." So we went on Wednesday. It's literally the only thing I did this week in my sickness. I got out of bed and got dressed. And Joe said, "Why are you so dressed?" And I said, "We're meeting the cat today." So you're still going even though you're sick? I'm like, "Hell yes, I'm still going."
Yeah.
So we went and met her, and she was available still. Because as of that morning, someone else was coming to decide between her and another cat, and they decided on the other cat. So it's like, oh my God, we're taking her. We're 100% taking her. Mm-hmm. So she's too little to leave yet. She's got to be 3 pounds to get fixed. Mm-hmm. So they're thinking maybe right around Thanksgiving-ish. So hopefully, Steph, it'll be right before Thanksgiving.
I'll be in town.
Since you'll be here, we can see her. But I can't make any promises. Okay. It's got to be when she's ready. So, yes, we're very excited. I am more excited than Joe, and we are both probably more excited than the other two cats in the house. But
a list of names? Do you have a name?
Yes. Everything I suggest, Joe vetoes and does not offer other suggestions. So that's a point of contention right now. Okay. So I won't.
So you've got a couple weeks.
Yeah.
To,
I won't divulge any of my short lists just because. Yeah.
Save it for the grand reveal.
Yeah.
Save it for the birth. Yes.
But she's a little tiny calico. They think she's about 4 weeks old. No, I think she said 6 weeks old. No.
I was like, Cole's probably like 2 months,
I asked her a few weeks ago on the Facebook page, and I think she said 4 weeks about then. And then I do know when they found her, she and her litter had to be bottle fed initially because they were so young still. The lady fed them every 3 hours. Mm-hmm. Wow, what a sleepless night.
Right.
Anyway, that's my exciting news. We have talked for so long about not Schitt's Creek.
We've had a lot to catch up on.
So,
Katie, you are leading again.
I am leading. Should we jump in here?
Yes. What are we talking about? What's the actual episode? What's happening?
So the real episode title, The Wingman, and our episode title, This Coffee Really Brings Out Your Lips.
Coffee table.
What did I say? Coffee. This coffee really brings out your lips. This coffee table really brings out your lips. Mm-hmm. That covers two of the three storylines tonight. So we'll get into it. Our opening scene is a little different. And even when I was first watching the show, I remember
thinking, you clicked on the wrong
show. Am I on the wrong channel? What's happening here?
I did that too.
It is the morning show live, and Moira Rose, of all people, is an interview on the show, and they start with their morning opener, and they're talking about a big debacle that happened, and imagine going to a movie premiere for a movie about crows and having an actual crow attack, is what they say, and lo and behold, Moira is on the other end of their interview stream, and the spin was strong, Stephanie. I don't know if it you remember when I left last week or last episode, I said, you know, like, no publicity is bad publicity, right? Could we turn this into something good? And sure enough, we have. The spin was strong on this one. And it's being played off as if the whole crow apocalypse in Schitt's Creek was a planned stunt.
That's totally what we meant to do.
It was a planned PR stunt. And, and it's been a wild ride, but now it's the video's got over 2 million views in 24 hours. Everyone's eating it up, and it's trending on Interflix, if you will. So Moira's there to give her, 5 cents. She gives a little more than 2 cents always on her side of the story. And so in the motel room, Moira's on the other side of the cameras, and we see Alexis and a camera crew, and Alexis has got some cue cards, and she's there as her mother's backup PR person, as always, right by her side. And she starts talking about the movie and how, it was planned, but I just want to assure you that no crows were harmed. And no people, just some wounded pride and a nicked earlobe, if you will. somebody lost a little something in that. But I'm sure it's an easy fix, right? Mm-hmm. And Alexis is cueing her mom next to talk about Blair, the one name director, no last name Blair. And Moira, typical boomer, gets off on this tangent about the wonders of streaming and how you can just start the movie whenever you want. And Alexis's next cue card says, stop talking about streaming.
It's like she anticipated that.
She knew her mom was just going to go off about this. And basically she says, wrap it up. Wrap it up is her last clue card. And the TV ladies, I will say the one on the right always looks like Elizabeth Banks to me with dark hair. You know who Elizabeth Banks is?
Yeah.
I had to look
Hunger
that up
Games,
at first.
Effie Trinket.
Yeah, I had Other to look comedies. That up and was like, is that her? But it's not. I looked several times, but she's got a doppelganger. Okay. And they declare, well, Moira, you are back in the game, it seems. And Moira says, well, don't adjust your sets, folks. You heard it here. And she stops and pauses and does something a little out of character for Moira. And she says, I'm sorry, but I would be remiss as to not give some credit to my daughter. And she invites Alexis over to sit in her chair with her and be put on screen. This whole thing was her idea, and she deserves all the credit for everything that happened and all the fame we're getting and the publicity. And Alexis kind of says, you can't hardly hear it, but she says, honestly, we just had fun with it. But she just doesn't understand that she's not mic'd and no one on the other end can hear her.
Right.
And she goes into her modeling pose and like, how do I look on the camera?
Finding her angles.
Yeah, I'm sure she can see herself in the view or something and is like just picking out her good side. And that's it. They say goodbye. They say thank you for the interview. And that's our cold open. It's just very out of the norm and a completely different set for one. So that kind of starts that storyline for Alexis and Moira today, but I'm not going to start there. We're going to save that one, I think, till the end, actually. Okay. So we'll see what everyone else is up to first. So Johnny's down in the motel lobby with Roland. Apparently at the same time, this is in the same morning, I guess. You know, he probably had to be shooed out of the room for, you know, keep it quiet. And Ronnie and Bob wander into the motel lobby. And we find out that he has been staying at Ronnie's guest room since Gwen took the house. Wah, wah.
Yeah, Gwen is fast.
Poor Bob is at such a rough go. We've all seen this coming for six seasons, and now that it's here, he is ill prepared for everything.
Yeah,
but Ronnie is clearly sick of him. She said maybe he could just he could use this change of scenery. Maybe he could crash here for a night or six. And to be fair, I mean, if the motel is not booked, like, why couldn't he stay there for a little bit of time? Like, I understand if they got an inquiry. Okay, I mean, you gotta get out.
Bob let Johnny stay in his garage when he was trying to start a business.
Yeah, like, he owes him, right?
Yeah. The least he could do.
Right. And I mean, Roland stayed there when he was in the doghouse a couple nights even.
Oh, yeah.
Did he pay when he stayed there? I don't know. Hard to tell what that arrangement was.
Right.
But I tried so hard in the scene to get a glance of the key rack to see how many rooms were checked out, and they never showed it. So I have no idea how many people are actually staying in the motel. But Johnny says, oh, I don't know if we have any clean rooms. Bob depressingly says, oh, I don't mind if it's a dirty room. And Ronnie just gives him this look of, good grief, guy, get some standards, right?
Right.
She dismisses him. She says, why don't you go have a seat and get some water? You need to rehydrate since you've been losing so many fluids through crying, basically. And he says, water. Gwen used to love water.
Oh, dear.
Of all of life's
he's
basic
he's got a human, rough road ahead.
Life's basic human needs, and she loved water. Like, I can't even imagine. She hasn't really been that nice to him, so why he's so hung up on her is beyond me. But she sends him over to the couch, as if that's so far away where they can talk about him. Just on the side. And Johnny comes around the desk, and Ronnie's kind of in begging mode. She's like, please, I can't deal with this another week at my house, basically. Yeah. And Johnny says he feels bad, but it's not a good look to have someone wallowing around the motel. And of course, Roland pipes in, well, a lot of people wallow around here. And to be fair, Johnny himself started as a freeloader there, meaning, he's working now and putting in his effort, but that he was wallowing around in season one. So somebody's got to give you a hand here and there, you know?
Yeah.
So Johnny suggests a different idea, though. He said, or what if us, our gang of Bob's BFFs, what if we go out for the night and get him hooked up? Maybe we can find him someone to go home with.
For like ever, though?
That's what I was thinking. Like, I get the idea, but I don't understand the angle. Like, it's going to be for a night tonight. Right. And Roland points out, Johnny, what do you know about dating? And since you've been in the dating game, things have changed. For instance, we have electricity. And Ronnie loves this joke. Ronnie and Roland love to poke fun at Johnny. It is like their common ground.
It's what unites them.
They are besties anytime they can pick on Johnny together. Mm-hmm. It's so funny. She loves it. Because any other time, you know, she looks at Roland like he's a bug.
Bumbling idiot. Yeah, yes. Like a bug.
And like an insect, just like. But if they're picking on Johnny, man, you got it.
She's all on board.
Oh, yeah. Ronnie says, okay, all right, I'm in. Like, let's do it. And they ask Bob, are you in, Bob? We could do this. Like, let's do this night out. It'll be good for you. And he says so depressingly, it would be nice to not be so completely alone, unlike Gwen, who has another one of her male cousins visiting.
So she's not just locked in with this pastor.
She's a player. She's a player, man.
And the family tree, apparently.
Yeah.
Speaking of trees.
Speaking of trees, Stephanie, at what point, you know, is cousin, like, how many levels do we have to go before until it's not like a family incestuous thing?
I've got former Mayor Rudy Giuliani on the line if we'd like to consult about marrying cousins. Please hold.
Like second cousins, third cousins, fourth cousins, how that all works out. Like,
if you've attended a family gathering, at any point.
If it's that's what your context is?
Or a funeral, even.
Okay. All right. Okay. I can think of like a lot of distant relatives that I probably wouldn't know them if I saw them in the store, but I definitely have been to a wedding or two with them as a small child. So <Yeah. laughs> we have a big extended family. My grandpa had 15 nieces and nephews in one of his families. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I could see.
Yeah. I was one of like 17 grandkids. So
yeah, we had 17 on my dad's side too. And my generation of grandkids. Mm-hmm. So it could be hard to keep track of that shit.
Yeah.
But Gwen is keeping track and is still dating them.
Yes.
Sleeping with them.
Keeping track with a different purpose.
Having them over for visits. I don't know. So they decide they're going to do this night out thing. Yeah. For a night, whatever. Whatever it gets Bob out of Ronnie's house for. And a little while later, Bob pops out of what I guess is a bathroom in the lobby that I never really knew existed until today.
No.
He pops out of this bathroom and I was like, what is he, where is he coming out of? But when you look at the door behind him, there's like, it's like the bathroom decor of the motel rooms, and it's like a sink in there. I thought, oh shit, I didn't even know that existed.
I guess
like under the door, under the stairs.
There's like a door. I do know there. There's been a door, it's just I've never seen it open.
Never speculated what was in
they're
there,
really giving away all the secrets in this final season.
So he's got one of Johnny's blue suits.
Blue spoots.
And it is a little snug and a little short, not surprising. And Bob is worried about not having enough room to stuff tissues in his pocket because he knows he's going to be crying all night. Bob, suck it up. Come on. Yeah. So he's feeling less than confident. But Johnny and Ronnie, like, they just give him a boost. Johnny says, you look great. And Ronnie is, it doesn't matter what you wear. It's all about being yourself. And Roland there to help, as always, says, I think the last person he wants to be is himself. And Bob agrees.
Mm-hmm.
So Johnny chimes in for some advice. And he says, you know, when Moira was single, she always used to say she was attracted to men that made her laugh, which I think is a huge selling. Most people are attracted to people who make them laugh, right? They're charming and witty and just cute.
Keeps life fun.
Of course, Ronnie said, well, how'd she wind up with you? And again, Ronnie and Roland are just laughing away. And Johnny suggests a role-playing scenario to test the waters. Ronnie, do you want to be the woman, logically, in this scene? And she says, hell no.
We know that Roland isn't good at improvising.
Ad lib.
Remember when they were all named Jacob?
Oh, yeah. This is Jacob. And I'm also Jacob. And this is, what was Alexis's name in that scene?
I don't know, but she did a kiss my hand.
Actually,
motion. My
birth name is Angelica or whatever that she said. Yeah, Roland's not good in any kind of ad lib improv acting whatsoever. So, I mean, granted, the stakes were a lot higher back then when they were talking to cops, but he said, okay, I'll be the woman. Let me jump in here. He jumps in and says in his high pitch, hi, I'm Gwen. Of all the names in the world to come up with. Mm-hmm. And Bob just goes into a spiral. He starts crying and walking away. And Ronnie says, of all the names, pick another name. And he starts over and he says, hi, I'm Ronnie. And this is my friend Gwen. Thanks, Roland. Thank you for nothing at all. And Bob is just losing it. He's on full breakdown. Mm-hmm. And Johnny just nervously says, oh, I think for just a few more run throughs and you'll be drowning in numbers. So I think it's going to be more than a few run.
I'm going to say this plan is falling apart pretty fast.
Not that great of a plan. No. And honestly, like we said, it's going to be for one night if that. It doesn't seem worth the hassle to me. Yeah. But they head out nonetheless to the town establishment. The most famous bar in town, the Wobbly Elm.
The one and only,
the best and only bar in town. And the scene opens and the three of them, Ronnie, Roland, and Johnny, are kind of sitting at the end of the bar watching Bob. And he seems to be hitting it off with a girl. And they're talking about how, well, this is looking good. There's a lot of smiling going on. There's a lot of laughing. They're hugging. And suddenly they're hugging and it looks like they're saying goodbye. And they're like, oh, okay, maybe it's not that good of news. Like, he comes back and lo and behold, what are the odds? He ran into his marriage counselor. And I'm like, oh, the odds in a townless small, they're probably pretty good.
Yeah, but, probably.
Don't you wonder about that? Like being a therapist or a counselor of any type of sort, like going out in public and running into your clientele.
I mean, when I lived in the same state as my therapist, mm-hmm. yeah. I also like, I just really like my therapist. So if I saw her.
Well, me too.
I almost have to like hold back from trying to be her friend because we get along so well.
Me too.
But yeah, it's, or like seeing your doctor or just anybody that you have that very like.
Yeah.
Patient, I've read professional like, relationship.
Or with. I follow social media accounts that are run by like therapists or like, you know, influencer therapist type people. And they say like, oh, you know, we're not allowed to like come up to you in public, mm-hmm. but you can come up to them type mm-hmm. thing. Yeah. I always think about like how, even though I love my therapist, like mm-hmm. it would still be so awkward. Like the only reason I would want to, I would just wish that Joe was with me in that situation. Cause I've told her so much about Joe. I'd be like, this is Joe.
But also just like with therapy and just patients in general, like patient confidentiality is huge. So like,
right.
I can see them not being like able to acknowledge that you are even their patient. Cause that could be giving away information that you don't want people to know.
My friend Rachel said, actually she ran into hers once in Meyer and she didn't know what to do, but she kind of acknowledged her therapist and gave her like some eye contact. And she was with her roommate at the time, Rachel mm-hmm. was. But it seemed like she just completely blew her off and didn't acknowledge her back whatsoever. And later she said something about it. She said, I'm sorry, like, I just didn't know who you were with. And we can't, unless you, you know, obviously come up to me, like, mm-hmm. I can't. Because you don't know if she's with someone in a domestic situation and that might be the person or, you mm-hmm. know, it's such a weird line to walk. And I was also wondering about this marriage counselor that Bob had. He said they said goodbye and had a hug because she let him down and said she had chosen to counsel Gwen from here on out.
Yeah.
So then I was like, if she's a marriage counselor, how did that work too? Like if the marriage counseling doesn't work out.
Yes. So I actually know the answer to this question because I've asked my therapist, not that I needed, like Susha and I aren't in therapy, but if we were to, I could not go to her for therapy because she's already biased towards my, mm-hmm. she and I have a relationship. So we would need to go. And even if Sushant had a therapist,
to someone new,
we would need to go to someone new who's kind of more neutral.
Right.
Because once they're already on your care team, you can't really bring
them. They're
in.
Yours. They're
like
yours.
You either have to come in together or, find somebody new when you're trying to do like joint therapy.
But I'm thinking, like, what about the opposite? Like, what if you go through this marriage counseling and then
you're like, I need
like, it's not working out and you end up splitting up. Like, is it ethical for this therapist to then choose one side or the other to continue counseling with? Well, maybe they don't even do individual counseling. Maybe they're solely a marriage counselor. Mm-hmm. But that's what I was wondering when he said, she's chosen to go with Gwen. First of all, it doesn't even sound like Gwen needs a therapist in this situation.
No. And it would be hard to be Bob's therapist because I imagine it's just a lot of crying.
A lot of crying. Yeah. It was an interesting, like, just to think about, though. Mm-hmm. Why does Gwen even need this woman?
Yeah.
So the plan is kind of dead in the water when they find out it was his marriage counselor and not mm-hmm. some cute chick he was talking to.
Yeah.
And Johnny's getting pretty impatient. He says, why don't we just try my plan, which is let's just laugh out loud, really loud, like Bob is the funniest dude on the planet and we'll get some girls' attentions. And Bob, you know, pipes in, well, I don't know about that. I'm not that funny. And he says, Bob, you don't have to be funny. We're just going to laugh. And he said, well, what if they ask what I said? And they won't, Bob, just relax.
And that was a trick our photographer had during our photo shoot was do a fake laugh and it'll make you real laugh.
Oh, 100% does every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crystal was adamant about those pictures. She's like, I hate those fake laugh pictures. I'm like, yeah, but they really get you actually laughing.
They do, but my chins just multiply after the fact. I'm like, I need to be like,
shoot from above, please.
You have a drone.
So the crew goes on LOL factor big time.
Yeah.
The three of them. And Johnny is an idiot as usual. And he's kind of laughing, but glancing over his shoulder at, you know, a girl he's hoping they target with this laughter. And she comes over and lo and behold, you said is something funny and she's pissed.
Yeah.
Because Johnny is an idiot and he couldn't stop looking at this lady. And she said, because it looks like you were laughing at me. Yeah, it did. It actually did look like you were laughing at her, Johnny. He said, oh, no. My really funny, very available friend just said something really funny and we were just laughing. Well, what did he say? And Bob, I told her she was going to ask. And Ronnie bails completely. She said, I'm not saying I'm bailing, but I'm leaving and I might not come back. And Johnny tries to play it off and he's like, oh, it wasn't really what he said, but more like an observation of how he said it. And this lady is still fed up. She said, well, next time observe someone else.
Yeah.
And she leaves. And so that was the end of that plan. So there's no plan now.
No.
They're just the three guys groveling at the bar at this point. Mm-hmm. And Ronnie comes back a little bit later and she said, I'm about to head out. And Johnny says, oh, you're calling it a night? She said, no, actually, my night is just beginning. I met a woman who happens, Bob, to have a very attractive friend who has car problems right now. Bob, this is your in, right? And the guys are jumping at this. This is your niche. You know this area. And Bob, oh, I was kind of hoping not to talk shop tonight. Beggars can't be choosers, Bob.
Yes.
This talk what you know, okay? And so Ronnie guides him over and kind of brags at the boys. This is how it's done, boys. Mm-hmm. And she sets Bob up with this woman and off she and this other woman go. And this is a cute little girl, I got to say, Ronnie picked up in the background. And they go to even have their little rendezvous for the night, I guess.
Well, she's got her house to her back.
She's got her house to herself tonight. Yeah, she's having some fun.
They are.
So this leaves Roland and Johnny up at the bar, belly up at the bar. And they kind of cheers to not living the single life and having to worry about dating. And Roland, of course, chimes in. Well, that was a long time ago for you anyway. And speaking of closing out the night, they better close their tab. And Roland just goes into dig after dig about, yeah, that's what women used to do when you came into the bar, close out their tabs and go home. And he just puts in dig after dig. And that's kind of where that scene ends. Kind of an inconsequential episode for the night or storyline for the night, if you will.
Yeah.
That's why I did it first. We've been talking quite a while about Schitt's Creek and non-Schitt's Creek related items. So I think we're due for a sponsor ad, and then we'll come back and see where everyone else is at.
Sounds good. This week's episode is sponsored by Morning Live with Barb and Lizzie, the country's favorite and earliest morning show for all things light news. Tune in each day at 5 a.m. to wake up on the right side of your morning as Barb and Lizzie unpack the latest and greatest trends, media news, and local flavor. Whether they're learning the best methods for a perfectly baked dish of enchiladas, uncovering illegal rabbit surveillance and exploitation practices, or testing the newest MLM skincare products to keep you looking glowing and youthful for the holidays, Barb and Lizzie bring it all to you each morning. So the next time you find yourself sluggishly pushing that snooze button over and over, push your remote control instead and tune in to Morning Live with Barb and Lizzie, where waking you up is their favorite way to start the day.
All right, welcome back, and thanks to Morning Live with Barb and Lizzie for sponsorship. Not only do they cover the latest celebrity news, but they also do, local in your home type stories. Interest pieces that you might want to know about. And for me, they recently did a piece about acclimating new kittens into your family topics. So I've set up a game plan thanks to Barb and Lizzie.
Got some helpful tips.
All about acclimating and turning my older cats into new mothers.
It's never too late.
Hoping they'll adopt in this new feline really easily. So hopefully Barb and Lizzie's tips are right. So I'll let you know.
Yes. Keep us posted.
We're going to go back into the morning again, and we're going to start off with David and Patrick and see what they're up to then. So David has either spent the night or gone over to Patrick's house pretty early because they're in there getting breakfast. Patrick's getting breakfast ready, and David is sitting on the couch and he's kind of nagging Patrick about getting a coffee table, like being a diva. Oh, this coffee's really good, but the cup's so hot, I don't have anywhere to put it. And mimicking that he can't put his feet up. And it's like, okay, drama. Mm-hmm. And apparently Patrick says, you know, the coffee table is coming today. And apparently they've ordered some custom made thing.
Yeah.
Patrick's over at the stove eating eggs or something. I don't know apparently what he's cooking, but not eating, cooking eggs. And just then there's a knock at the door and he said, are you happy? It's here. Basically, come watch these and don't eat them. First of all, do we trust David to watch any type of cooking task? One.
No. What does burning smell like?
Even eggs, like, yeah, which are one of the easiest foods to cook, in my opinion, wouldn't you say?
I would.
And do we trust him also not to eat them? which he says no guarantees. So he doesn't trust himself to not eat them either. And Patrick answers the knock at the door, and lo and behold, he opens the door and we see Jakey.
Yeah.
Good old fashioned Jakey. And he is the one that's been working on this custom coffee table. And Patrick cannot put two and two together because he said, I don't have we met? You look really familiar. Have we ordered from you before? And Jake's like, I don't know. I do a lot of work, woodwork. Yeah. I have a lot of customers, blah, 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 blah. He hoists up this coffee table, which, if I'm being honest, looks like a pretty basic thing.
I mean,
from Pottery Barn.
Yeah. Pottery Barn, like, Home Goods.
Yeah. Yeah. And he walks in, and when David sees him, he said, I'm sorry, this is who you ordered your coffee table from? And now, because Jake is still inappropriately greeting people with kisses on the lips, as he does to David, Patrick really clues in to, oh, I remember you, yeah, Mr. Man from Stevie's apartment, when he never officially got introduced. Good to meet you, man. Now I remember where we met. And of course, Jake is like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry, I didn't remember that. And David says, well, this is my boyfriend. And Patrick quickly corrects him, fiance. And Jake is clearly crushing on Patrick a little bit. I love that sweater. It really brings out your lips. And just, he gets Patrick all flustered and David flustered too. He doesn't like this attention that Jake is giving to Patrick. And he says, I am also wearing a sweater. So desperate.
So desperate.
Remember me? I'm cute too, basically. And he says, speaking of sweat, Jake says, a lot of sweat went into this baby. You got really good taste. And from the looks of it, so does David. He just can't help but lay on thick this like flirtatious flattery, right? And Patrick's like, I'm going to go finish breakfast, and leaves Jake and David to say goodbye. And I had to also note, just in this whole interaction, Jake is wearing this like super low cut tank top under his flannel shirt that just shows off all of his pec muscles and all of the hair on his chest. It's like, nobody wears this, dude. But Jake would wear it. So as they're saying goodbye, as luck would have it, Jake was, you know, just planning on having a chill night in tonight. But if you guys wanted to come over for a whiskey or whatever, give me a call, you know. David's like, we'll think of that. Think about that, right?
And yeah,
he leaves. And Patrick is so just flustered by this whole interaction. He's so, he's not embarrassed. He's like flattered, I think. And like,
kind of, wow, like when he got that number from Ken.
Yeah, like, Jake is cute and I can't believe this cute guy is looking at me and likes my sweater. And David gives him a little bit of a hard time. He's like, okay, it's like, you're red. He's, yeah, like, I am not. So they kind of tease each other a little bit about this, and that scene ends. And later on, they're in the apartment and Patrick is really praising this coffee table. And he says, well, you did like a really great job. And David, clearly still rubbed the wrong way about these compliments, says, yeah, it really brings out your lips. Patrick is like, what? I can't compliment a guy on his work. He's a one-man operation. And David says, not in my experience.
Yeah.
And it's a nice table. And you know what? It was also really nice of him to invite us over for drinks. So Patrick is still thinking about this invite. And David is really cluing Patrick in. He's not, he knows he is not on the same level as Jake. He said, Patrick, honey, dear, he did not invite us over for drinks.
No.
A whiskey or whatever means so much more to Jake, mm-hmm, than that. And Patrick is like, wait, what? Like threesome maybe? Or what are you getting at? And David's like, yeah, a whatever could literally mean whatever.
Literally.
And also, side note, Dave is eating a mall pretzel in this scene. Did you notice that?
I didn't notice. But again, what a great Easter egg.
Yeah, I had to look at it again. I was like, is this still breakfast or is this later enough? And he's found a pretzel. So he's eating a mall pretzel. And he says, yeah. And then when Patrick realizes, like, oh, well, that's, we're not like that. We shouldn't go over, right? Like, we shouldn't do that. And David says, well, if we were that adventurous or interested in experimenting with that, Jake would be the perfect person to do it with because he literally doesn't care about anything, which I think, you know, to David means it literally would be no strings attached if we wanted to play around with that in our relationship.
And is this also like, you know, are they open to an open relationship? Well, is that what this is?
That's what
to?
I think is going on here. I think like they haven't discussed it before. And I think they're kind of just testing the waters out on each other. Mm-hmm. And for Patrick, wouldn't that be the best of like both worlds? Since David was adamant that he get other experience. Well, now he can get other experience with David.
Is Patrick Hannah Montana?
I don't know. He but I'm like, yeah. So I never watched Hannah Montana. So oh, I babysat. I didn't even know what you were referring to. But yeah, so like I feel like this would be like a win-win for everybody. Like get more experience, but like you're like it's at your fiance's condoning it. So like go ahead. So they kind of like Patrick says, well, we can just go for a whiskey. Like it's not, we just go for a drink. And if it's uncomfortable, we leave. And David's like, that's cute. That's not gonna happen. So they end up going showing up. And they're walking up to Jake's and Patrick is, they're in the hallway of his apartment building, I guess. And Patrick is taking his jacket off to this suspiciously tight shirt that really shows off his guns and his biceps and probably his lips. And David can't help but pick on him a bit. And he's like, does this shirt come in an adult size? Like, oh, is that new? What's going on? And Patrick picks back. He said, are you wearing new cologne? And David says, no, it's leather scented moisturizer. And Patrick says, well, oh, so you moisturize your body, huh? So they're clearly still not sure what page they're on before they're coming to this party.
Crimped and ready.
Yeah. And I think they're both kind of hoping for something to happen, but just nervous about it and scared. So maybe they don't want it to happen. It's kind of a weird situation. And Patrick says, you know what? Maybe we should just forget it. This is starting to get too complicated. David says, the only thing that's complicated is the length of your shirt sleeves. Pick one, short or long. And Patrick said, no, like this is too complicated. And David says, about in there, like, if one of us wants to leave and one of us wants to stay, and Patrick confidently says, then we leave. And David just kind of follows suit because that's clearly not what he was thinking. He was thinking, well, then the other one can stay. So knock on this door with your warmed up guns, Patrick. Yeah. Knockety knock. And inside, Jake answers the door and it is a quiet night in, all right, with everybody else in Schitt's Creek who's into group orgies.
Yeah. As who knew?
There is a party going on. And at first I thought Patrick seemed a little calmed down. At first, I thought he was like kind of had an I told you so attitude with David at first. Like, see, this is a party. Like, we're not doing anything. And David still knows, oh no, yeah, this is a party, but this is a party. You know,
it's gonna take a turn.
Yeah. So then David is immediately like, okay, we actually need to go back to our car because we forgot our wine. And Jake said, well, we have lots of wine here. Oh, but ours is kosher. So David's out. If it's a big group like that, David's out. And Patrick doesn't know. Poor dear. Doesn't have a clue. You know,
no,
he's too naive and too pure, if you will.
Yes.
So as they're about to walk out, Jake says, well, hurry back. We're going to start the massage circle soon. And as they turn around to leave, lo and behold, who is in the room but Stevie. And I don't really think any of us are that surprised to see Stevie there.
No.
I mean, she's a single girl. She can do what she wants. And as we know already, Jake is really good at celebrating her body. So And we never did find out, like, if any of that even ended, mm-hmm. right? Like, right. It was still kind of ongoing. And he had a toothbrush yeah. at her house last time mm-hmm. we knew. So
yeah.
She's there. She's there for the party. And David says, wow. And he thinks since she got caught in the act, she's going to just kind of abandon and come hang out
she's
with them.
She's not ashamed, though. She's
and
like,
she's
hey.
Like, nah, I'm going to finish my drink and then probably won't meet up with you later. So good night. So she, too, knows that drinks or whatever is more than just drinks or whatever. And she's okay yeah. with that. So she's going to stay and hang. The boys bolt. And that's mm-hmm. kind of the end of that little
it was too much for them.
Storyline. Yeah, yeah, it was too much. Patrick, I think, is just still a little naive about all of it. And mm-hmm. David, knowing fully well what was going to happen in that massage circle, was like, that's too much even for me. Mm-hmm. Maybe the old David, but yeah. not the current David. So yeah. Last but not least, we are going to go back to our PR campaign for the Crows mm-hmm. movie and find out what the gals have been up to. So last we saw them, they were finishing up their little morning interview with the morning show. And later on in the day, Ted and Alexis are Skyping and he's at the ocean. And JK, it's just a poster in his friend's room because he's in a friend's room. There was a fire ant infestation in his own room. Yikes.
Mm-hmm.
And Ted's looking again, like even thinner and dewier than before, I think.
Yeah.
I feel like every time we see him, he's like getting skinnier. They must not feed them very well at the Galapagos.
I mean, resources are scarce.
But not scarce enough for them to not have Interflix and know all the news that's going true. On.
He's got that 5G.
He said, let's talk about you. Like, I've heard all the stories. I can't believe that whole thing was a stunt and it was all fake. And Alexa says, yeah, honey, it's and how did you do it? And she said, well, it's complicated, but I'm just glad it was a success. And, you know, Moira wanders in and says hello. And Ted is singing her praises. So not only do they get the news, but they have Interflix because he's watched the film now and he can't believe, like, he's just amazed at that last scene, that just last heartfelt scene where Moira leaps from her nest only to realize that her wings aren't fully developed. I think that would be me.
That was you, because you still have arms.
The crow with arms.
No feathers yet.
Flop. Smack. Dead crow. So does Moira die? Does Clara Mandrake die from her fall from her nest? I want to see this movie so bad. What's the premise of this? So Ted has clearly watched the film and he's, you know, talking up Moira and her performance. She says, oh, thank you. Aren't you kind? Blah, blah, blah. And Alexis shoos her off. She says, please, can I have my boyfriend back? And as Moira is leaving the room, Alexis's cell phone is ringing and she says, oh my gosh, it's BuzzFeed calling for the 10 glorious accidents from the movie. And Moira kind of is like, I'll take it. But don't forget, we have this interview later with so-and-so and runs off. And it seems like things are really
picking up
busy. Like, yeah, she's got BuzzFeed calling, which let's talk about BuzzFeed for a second. Like, yeah. How did that get so popular so fast? Right.
Well, they were the list
of everything
and quizzes.
Yeah.
And, but then they also like branched out into news and media. And a lot mm-hmm. of that kind of peaked and then fizzled. Like they've had to really scale back.
Yeah.
In fact, there's like some YouTubers that I follow, like I follow the Try Guys. I don't know if you know who they are, but they worked at BuzzFeed and they kind of started as characters with like reoccurring videos on BuzzFeed channel. And then they ended up like buying the rights to their own quote unquote shows and then branched out on their own. And I think a lot of talent has gone that way from BuzzFeed. And now they're kind of, I don't really know what they are anymore, to be honest with you. I mean, we all have taken the Harry Potter and Disney Princess quizzes.
Oh, 100%. Which
Scree
character are you is on there. I guarantee it. Which Scree character.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They had like a big moment, though. Like it was wild.
That could be a good poll question, by the way, for this
lists
week.
Of everything. What? Which Scree character?
We'll make our own. Yeah. Shit lips.
Which Scree character are you? BuzzFeed. It's weird how social media, I don't know if that's really social media, but like media mm-hmm. places like take off like that. Like now the big thing too is Reddit. Like everyone's on Reddit, you know,
and I don't
finding things on Reddit.
It makes
I'm
me
not
feel
on there.
So old. Cause I'm like, what?
I don't know like about Jocelyn. Old, but I just don't, like Ryan, our friend Ryan, will always send us links to Reddit, this and that. And I think he's on there all the time. And I'm like, what are you?
Sushant goes on Reddit, and I just don't understand.
Like, what are you doing? You're just reading about what other people are talking about in the world. It's like, it's weird to me. It's really weird. It is. But I mean, BuzzFeed, the lists were fun. Like, lists. Yeah. I feel like the lists and the quizzes were fun.
Choose your favorite desserts, and we'll tell you what year you're going to get married.
I still get that stuff popping up in my like ads.
Yeah.
You know what gets me, though, is as soon as you click on one, it takes 7 hours to take a quiz because every question is on a new page that has to be loaded. And I go through like annoying. 2 or 3 questions. And I'm like, fuck this. I don't have time for it. It's so annoying.
Yeah.
For every page to load. So, but BuzzFeed is still a little big, but was really big back then. And they're calling Alexis and they've got interviews and they've got so-and-so. And so she tries to continue on her conversation with Ted, and she's flustered when she has to say goodbye because Moira wanders back in. And of course, the person on the phone wants to know about co-stars. And of course, Moira can't be expected to remember everyone's name as if we would expect her to remember anyone's name.
Right.
And they kind of hang up and she's like, okay, I'll see you in a few days. So does this mean, this must mean her month delay is coming to an end soon. So I guess she's getting on that flight, that August flight instead of that July flight. Yeah.
I mean, she still has that ticket.
Yeah. So she rushes off to help Moira and they hang up. And a little while later, she comes into Moira's room to an abundance of flower deliveries, like just bouquet after bouquet. And Alexis is a little stunned. And Moira said, yeah, they just keep coming in. And apparently The Crows Have Eyes is the number one streamer of the day on Interflix, tied with season 4 of Caroline in the City from the 90s. Barely remember that show. And Alexis picks up one of the cards on one of the arrangements and is shocked to find out it's made out to her. Mm-hmm. And she says to Alexis, it says to Alexis, congrats and thank you. The competition is eating crow. Love your new besties at Interflix. And she looks around and Moira says, they're all for you. Like, none of these, except for one small one by Moira's bedside. That's from her friend Joyce DeWitt.
Yes. You know who Joyce DeWitt is?
From Three's Company?
Okay. We've talked about Joyce DeWitt, I think, at least once.
Because she was the lady at the soap opera convention, right?
Wasn't she? No, that was Gloria somebody.
Gloria Gregson.
Gregson.
But didn't Joyce DeWitt play her or something? What? That's why we talked about it, I thought. Or no. God, I can't remember now. I feel like it was that episode that we talked about that.
Oh, there's just something where they say they've mentioned Joyce DeWitt several times. Also, Suzanne Summers died.
Oh, yeah, we did. We didn't talk about that. I forgot about that. Man, a lot's happened since we've been gone.
Yeah, that was just like 2 weeks ago. Damn.
Oh, no, I was wrong. Why did we talk about Joyce DeWitt in that? I swear it was that episode. Anyway, that's the only reason I knew that who that was is because we had talked about that. But yeah, Joyce DeWitt sent her some flowers. Every other bouquet in the room is to Alexis, and suddenly, Alexis has kind of a conundrum on her hands because she's supposed to be leaving in a few days to the Galapagos. And now she has all of this, I guess, potential here.
Yeah, reasons to stay.
Everyone's so happy with her PR work. Interflix, Moira, you know, she's obviously doing a good job. And Moira didn't, you know, tell her about the flower arrangements because she knew she has these plans with Ted and she like didn't want to stomp that out. But she says to Alexis, like, perhaps you might find this a little more fulfilling. And she's making a valid point, right? Mm-hmm. Like, in one hand, like, this is her future and her career. And on the other hand, it's her boyfriend and probably someone she plans on being more than just a boyfriend in the future. So like,
yeah.
The
best relationship she's ever had, really. Yeah,
the most healthy and normal and not like some rich, stupid guy just looking for, you know, her money or her fame or whatever. But like the smart girl in me thinks like, of course I would stay and choose a career. But what do you think you would do in this situation?
I don't know. This is where I think I mentioned back at the beginning of the season, like I've got thoughts on the Alexis and Ted storyline in season 6. Mm-hmm. I am about to get real upset with how this plays out.
You are.
Because I don't like it.
I mean, a lot of people don't.
And I don't know if you're asking me what would I do. I think it depends
on what would you do right now without knowing anything future in the future. Like if you knew just like what.
I mean,
like if you were Alexis,
yeah,
and you've never been, if you've never been in like a stable relationship mm-hmm. with a nice guy that mm-hmm. actually cares about you,
yeah. Or honestly, if I was Alexis, I think I would go with Ted.
You would.
I do. I think so. Because it would be an adventure and it would be out of her comfort zone. But if to my thought is she proves that she can make something of herself here. So she could make something of herself anywhere is my thinking.
Already. Like she's already done that. She's already mm-hmm. proved that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree. I would agree. And I don't think just because she leaves now, like she's not planning on staying in the Galapagos forever. They don't know what they're going to do after that. So yeah, it could
be clearly anywhere. He has Wi-Fi because he can watch Interflix whenever he
wants. You can work remotely anywhere. As we know, the Galapagos.
Yeah, this was written before the pandemic, but like you can do work from your toilet in any country.
In the Galapagos.
In the Galapagos.
From your toilet. So this is tough. Tough situation. It's a big mm-hmm. growing up moment for Alexis. And Moira is really not any help. I think she's definitely steering the ship one way. Moira says, well, what do you want to do? And she says, you know, on one hand, you are perched on the precipice of a dream come true and mm-hmm. touting all of her success and the potential in this industry. And Alexis says, and on the other hand, and Moira says, what other hand? Oh, Ted. Oh, yes. Ted. Dear Ted. So it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to think like, okay, see, I would like to think I would, if I were Alexis, I would be like, well, I can't throw away my career for some guy, no matter who this guy is.
Mm-hmm.
But like we discussed, like Alexis has never had a guy like this before. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
tough choice. Remember that thinking like when I was single and figuring out my career, I was very much career focused and like,
yeah,
was not going to mm-hmm. pursue a relationship basically until I was happy with my career because I didn't want that to weigh in on my decision making.
I mean, when I moved to New York, like, Joe and I broke up.
Right.
Like I was like, I'm not doing a long distance thing. I'm going to New York for this internship. I don't know if I'm coming back. I didn't know I was staying at that mm-hmm. time either, but I'm not going to be tied down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was very young then and we also weren't thinking marriage at that time, but interesting. Yeah. It's tough for Alexis. Mm-hmm. So
it is.
Later that evening, she, you know, Skypes Ted and is kind of about to drop a bomb on him, I guess. Maybe a bomb. And Ted pipes in, sorry, I'm late. Myrtle was laying her eggs. Myrtle the turtle, of course. And everybody was watching and it was so exciting and gross. Alexa says, fresh omelets.
Who's eating turtle eggs?
Okay. Who's eating turtle eggs? Or did she think it was a chicken? Like, no, Myrtle is a turtle, obviously.
Myrtle's a tortoise.
Turns out they're very high in cholesterol, according to Ted. And she's an endangered species, so we would never eat those. And Alexis drops the serious, we need to talk line. And Ted says, yeah, I know. And he thinks it's all about him, you know, not being available and dropping the ball on calls and being too busy with work. And she said, no. Like, just as she's about to, you know, throw out the I'm staying here line, he says, I think you should stay where you are. And she says, what? And he says, Alexis, you're going to hate it here. Something we all knew. Like, give me a break. Mm-hmm. Alexis is not built for the Galapagos.
No.
But he just says, like, things are so up in the air and there's this fire ant thing and you'll get here and there's no guarantee we won't be called away to some other part of the island. And it's just never going to feel like home here for you. Shocker. Yeah. So it's nice because Alexis thought she was going to have to be the one to like break some bad news. So it lets her off the hook in a little bit. And I think gives her a lot of peace of mind. You know, she doesn't feel as guilty now. Mm-hmm. And he also says, and also I didn't even tell you yet about the shared bathroom situation. She said, well, you should have led with that. Cause that would have been a no-go from the start.
Seriously. Saved us a lot of this conversation.
I would probably have to agree. So,
yeah.
So for once, like they're kind of on the same page in terms of this Galapagos thing. And I guess they're just going to wait it out. They're just going to do this long distance thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, we know that Ted's stint is a 6-month stint and we're 1 month into it. And time really does fly. I mean, 6 months to me seems like nothing really in the grand scheme of things. Mm-mm. Well, we don't know what, I mean, you can only assume he's got to practice. He's going to be coming back when he's done with his program he's in and stuff. Yeah. So then, just then, she said, well, they're now on the same page. She said, well, we'll stick it out for now, or at least until they invent teleportation, which is a thing I wish they really would invent, because I hate driving every single place and traveling. Like, can we just teleport? How have we not figured this out yet in 2023? And Ted says, well, I don't know how long that's going to be. And she says, well, speaking of teleportation, why don't we teleport you out of that shirt and suggest some more cyber sex? Mm-hmm. And just as he's about to oblige, he gets raided again by more fire ants. And he says, I'm going to have to take a rain check. I don't want to get eaten alive. And I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. And they say goodbye. And like, as Alexis closes her laptop, that's kind of a, you can tell, like, no matter how right it feels, it's like a tough pill for her to swallow that she's not going to be with her boyfriend. It's sad. Yeah. It's sad. But it's the right thing for now, I would say. Right?
Yeah, for now. I think it's just a tough situation.
Yeah. So that's it. That's the end of that storyline and the end of the episode. I had a couple of trivia questions for you.
Did I spoil them all?
One of them is spoiled. I only had two, but I do have one more for you. What is the name of the girl that Ronnie hooked up with at the bar?
Oh, gosh. Rhonda.
No, Ronnie and Rhonda. It was Vanessa.
Vanessa.
Vanessa. So Vanessa and her very single friend with car problems were out that night together. And my other one, of course, was what was the name of the morning show? But our sponsor ad kind of gave that one away. So Morning Live with Barb and Lizzie, in case you guys forgot. So that's it. That's the episode. You were saying it would be fun to do a What Schitt's Creek character are you kind
of? Yeah, let's make our own little BuzzFeed-esque quiz.
Have you ever had to make a tough decision like Alexis is? Yeah. I want to know.
And maybe let's do a poll. What would you have done? Do you think you would have stayed? Or would you have stuck with your original flight plan and gone to be with Ted as soon as you could?
And then what are your, did we talk about this before, but what are your best pickup lines or tactics?
Oh, okay.
Let's help the boys out in the bar.
Yeah, they need some help. They all do.
I think that suffices.
I also want to just say, because I don't know that there's another episode this season that I would dub this. And you kind of noted this with the Bob storyline. I think this is my little sister. It is, okay, I didn't want to like rain on your parade because it was your week.
No.
But like, I really feel like it's the little sister of season 6.
It is mine too. The only reason I was glad to have this one is because it followed, is because of the Crow storyline, and then it followed the fiasco last week, and that, and how we were still talking about the publicity and like all that. That was the only.
I even think that is.
It wasn't strong.
It's a setup for Alexis's conundrum. I think that's really it. The boys storyline.
Stupid.
Johnny and Roland. The Bob storyline. Very stupid. Doesn't need to happen. It's really just that setup to get Alexis to that point where she's having to make a choice.
Yeah, that's the only character movement like it that's necessary in this show. But yeah. I would 100% agree. The little sister of the season. Yeah. So you guys probably agree with us. You don't have to, but I can't see it. There's another one I can think of that I also don't care for, but it's not as bad as this one. So
yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
we'll talk about that off the air. Yeah. What's coming up next week, Stephanie? You're taking the lead next week.
Yeah, I'll be jumping back into the driver's seat next week. With some of this Crow's movie fame, we are going to be revisiting our favorite local winery, which you and I, Katie, have now visited in person.
Yes.
Where we might be getting a special sponsorship or tribute opportunity. There's a really great moment with Johnny and Patrick, who have a little bonding moment.
I do
over
love
some
this episode
pizza.
Coming up.
And then Alexis is trying to continue building her marketing and PR biz and gets the townies into a sticky situation.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I forgot about all the stuff that happened.
So, yeah, lots going on next week. Kind of picking up the pace a little bit more after this week's episode, I think.
Fun.
So I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, if you think about it, after this week, we're on the downward half of the season.
We are.
So
yeah.
Things better pick up.
It's gonna get ready.
So.
But yeah, we'll put those polls up for the week. We'll also post our Halloween costumes. Also, I would love to see if you dress up for Halloween.
Yeah,
show us your costumes.
Share your costumes.
I especially love, so my college roommate came to visit this weekend and her family, she's got two little girls. They're doing like a Star Wars themed family costume. And her 8-month-old baby is wearing like a Chewbacca snowsuit. And
nice.
I'm like, it's going to look so cute. So yeah, any cute, doesn't even have to be Schitt's Creek related.
We don't care if it's Schitt's Creek. Costumes
your Halloween
are cute.
Costumes. Yep. And yeah,
We went to a small get together last night and I sent you a picture, but we dressed up as a cat and a cat scratching tower. I was the scratching tower.
I was going to say Joe giving a little hissy meow.
Joe made one hell of a drag cat.
What?
I say drag cat because I put eyeliner and mascara on him and he was such a baby about getting the makeup on, but he nailed it.
I love this era he's in. It's so great to see. I was just going to say, I think we're kind of full steam ahead for the time being, at least till we get
so,
to like,
yeah.
the holidays.
We'll be back on Sunday like normal next
yes.
week.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably be doing an in-person one. We haven't discussed the actual date logistics yet, but we're hitting an in-person one.
Episode. Hopefully I can meet your new kitty if she's there.
If she's here. Lo and behold, our in-person episode won't be the little sister episode. I think someone noted that we're always together on the little sister episode, but we've declared that and we're not together tonight. Yeah. So, but anyway, it was good to be back after some time off. Mm-hmm. And again, happy Halloween to all you spooky bitches out there.
Yeah, stay spooky, be safe. And until next week, Katie, best wishes.
And warmest regards.
Fat Spatula.